The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We got a very busy afternoon. Welcome to The Big Show. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. We are going to break an exclusive news story that, again, shows the turmoil at the top of King County government. Do that in just a moment. Want to quickly mention, because they are going fast, if you were not listening at 1 o'clock yesterday, if you're just a noon hour listener, we did announce a few months ago, we first did our first ever live show, this little one-man show that I've put together that kind of celebrates the remarkable people who have just shaped my career, and also the goal setting that I think is so critical to success in life. We announced another live show, and this time we wanted to reach out to all of our listeners down in South King and Pierce and Thurston County and wherever you might be in the South Sound area. It is going to be on September 13th. It's a Friday night at the Federal Way Performance and Event Center. Gorgeous facility. Big venue. Almost double the size of our last one because we wanted to give everyone a chance to come and see the show. And we still have tickets available. So if you want to come and join us on a Friday night, what is that, about less than 2 months from now? I got to get back to work on this thing. It's going to be on a Friday night. September 13th, Federal Way Event and Performance Center. You can get tickets if you go to mynorthwest.com/events. We've got a link right there for you to get your tickets for our second ever live show down in Federal Way. So love to see you there. And afterwards, we hang out in the lobby and get a chance to meet everybody who attends and take pictures and all of that stuff. So come and join us and get your tickets right now. MyNorthwest.com/events with that as mere prelude. Let's get to a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Things are very busy at the King County Ombudsman's office right now. And that is because we've got some turmoil at the top of King County. We have well chronicled what's been going on with County Executive Dow Constantine, a womanizing, drinking, abuses his executive protection unit detail. He ships people who have already been adjudicated for deportation. He won't allow Boeing Field because he threatened businesses with losing county contracts. So the detainees have to be bused to Yakima now so he can engage in that little bit of political theater. The latest with Dow is the allegation from a former King County Parks director that Dow Constantine influenced concession contracts to go to his buddy and campaign donor, David Minert, a guy who's been accused by 11 women of sexual misconduct, sexual assault. Some have accused him of rape. That's Dow Constantine's buddy. And Dow Constantine allegedly funneled millions of dollars in concession contracts to David Minert, the Seattle restaurateur and nightclub guy, who, again, has all of those accusations of sexual assault, sexual misconduct against him. So that's what's going on with Dow. And the Ombudsman's Office has that because you and I, the taxpayers, we paid off that whistleblower $275,000 if he would drop it and tell the Ombudsman's Office to not pursue investigating this. Why would Dow, and there's a quote in the Seattle Times story, that Dow thought the payoff was a little large, a little surprising. Well, I have information that Dow Constantine had to personally approve that $275,000 payoff to try to keep quiet a whistleblower. So the ombudsman's office says they're going to have the results of that investigation against Dow Constantine sometime in the next month or so. What we are breaking today is a different story about a different King County top executive. And it is Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. The Dory Monson Show can confirm that the King County ombudsman is looking into a complaint that Mitzi Johanknik gifted well over $10,000 in tax money to her undersheriff, Scott Summers, because he wanted to carry over extra vacation beyond what is allowed. And the reason that Johanknik is approving this is more than a little disturbing. So we have obtained all of the documents that the ombudsman's office, our source has provided us with everything that the ombudsman's office is looking at right now. But the allegation is, if you are a King County employee, the maximum number of vacation hours you can carry over is a mind-blowing 480 hours. Now, I don't know about you, but here at Bonneville, at Cairo Radio, we can carry over a maximum of 2 weeks vacation from year to year. Use it or lose it beyond the 2 weeks. And in almost every year of my career, I have forfeited vacation hours because I have not used all of my vacation over the course of a year, and I've carried over the maximum 2 weeks pretty much every year, but that's it. So we're allowed to carry over 80 hours. In the sheriff's office, you can carry over 480 hours. Well, Scott Summers, he had a request. And he made this request in 2017 when Mitzi Johanknik's predecessor, John Urquhart, was still the sheriff. And he asked to carry over 176 hours beyond the 480. So he wanted to carry over 654 hours of vacation. That's 16 weeks of vacation. On December 6th, 2017, that request for the excess carryover was denied. And what the undersheriff, Scott Summers, was told, Captain Summers had ample opportunity to use excess vacation during 2017, including carryover from 2016. All command staff are expected to manage their vacation, so excess vacation is not accrued. Now, this is already just a ridiculous benefit that government workers get, because what they do is they will carry over the maximum until the end of their career, and then they get paid off for their unused vacation. So it's a way, with all of the other incredible benefits and pension that you receive as a government employee, 480 hours is a way for you to get an extra 12-week payoff from the taxpayers. Now, for a lot of these workers, that's $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. Because they can carry over 480 weeks right up until the time of retirement. It's just another way for government to scam the taxpayers. But the scam deepens dramatically with Scott Summers and Mitzi Johanknik, because he made another request to carry over 144 hours the following year, last year, in other words. And Mitzi Johanknik approved it. So why? Why, if county policy is you are not allowed to carry over more than 480 hours, why did Mitzi Johanknik approve it? Well, she sent a letter to the Office of the Ombuds dated December 6th, 2018. And she said that she was concerned that the guy's previous request to carry over more than $10,000 in excess vacation. She said, I'm concerned because he supported me and not my predecessor, and I think my predecessor retaliated against him. But here's what Mitzi Johanknik wrote as to why she gifted more than $10,000 from the taxpayers to this guy, Scott Summers. She wrote, "Scott Summers not only encouraged my candidacy, he openly supported me during my campaign. He provided strategic support and advice, and frankly, some of the concerns that were raised during the election were critical of decisions and actions by the former sheriff." And then she wrote, "Had he not been supporting my candidacy and transition planning, I believe Summers would certainly have had far more opportunity to use his accrued leave, his vacation." So in other words, because he was working on her campaign, he was too busy to take vacation, and so she just gives him more than 10,000 taxpayer dollars? The Ombuds office says that they should have the results of their investigation in the next week or two. But I don't have a lot. I don't know anything about the Ombuds office. I don't know anything about the people in the Ombuds office. I know a lot about the upper workings of King County. And much of King County government, like most governments, is constructed just to extract as much money from the taxpayers and to give it to the politically connected and powerful. But to say that you're going to violate county policy that prohibits vacation carryover because the guy was too busy working on your campaign to take vacation? I'll tell you something else I've obtained. I have a spreadsheet. 108 employees in the sheriff's office had excess vacation at the end of 2017. Some of them, they have some called a leave donation form. So you can donate your excess vacation to, say, a coworker who has a long-term illness. As far as I can tell, only one other excess carryover was granted, and that was about 12 hours. That's about it. But the undersheriff gets to carry over 144 hours on top of the 480, 624 hours. And the stated reason by the supervisor who granted that is that he was too busy working on my campaign to take vacation. Does that sound like being a steward of tax dollars? Does that sound responsible, or does that sound really shady and cronyish? Right at the top of King County government, I would suggest for your consideration that it is the latter. But sadly, this is consistent with the emerging picture of Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. I talked to a cop last night who told me that morale in the sheriff's office is horrible under Johanknik. I've talked to people who have been in meetings with her. You know, I've only once in my career as a government watchdog, only once Have I come right out and labeled somebody as completely incompetent and over their head? And that was Scott Coblee when he was running Seattle Department of Transportation. How and why could I do that? Well, I had people, great sources, trusted sources, who had been in meetings with him and who told me, described exactly and backed up how absolutely incompetent and over his head Scott Coblee was. And obviously, I was proven to be 100% accurate with that. So this is not an allegation that I throw out randomly and often. But the emerging picture of Sheriff Joe Hanknecht, there are shocking shortages of deputies on the street. They have so many job openings right now in the King County Sheriff's Office that public safety is at great risk. And I've had multiple sources that I trust who have simply told me that Sheriff Joe Hanknecht is incompetent, over her head, as arrogant as they come, rarely attends public meetings, and that all of that is consistent with this report that's being decided right now by the Ombuds Office, that she would gift over 10,000 vacation dollar hours to a guy because he was spending so much time working on her campaign the previous year. That's not how politics is supposed to work. Now, that's how politics does work. But for the rank and file, for the cops on the streets, for the ones who, you know, and I know some great men and women who work for the King County Sheriff's Office, and it's a tough gig, and most of them had to forfeit their excess vacation. But the big dog who worked on the sheriff's campaign, he gets you and me to gift him over $10,000 in excess vacation. We'll keep you posted. As I said, the Ombuds Office is supposed to release its results in the next week or two, but they're staying very busy with the investigation of Dow Constantine, the $275,000 payoff to a whistleblower. Constantine allegedly shuttling millions of dollars in concession contracts to an accused serial sexual molester. And now the sheriff, Mitzi Joe Hanknecht, her department in chaos right now, and she's given our tax money to a crony because he worked on her campaign. Now we'll see what the Ombuds comes up with all of this. That is a Dory Monson Show exclusive, and that is our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Because I want to go in depth on that for you, I am going to continue with more big lead stuff right after Ursula checks the news as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. We got so much news today that we are extending our big lead into the second half hour.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Have you made a donation yet, Ursula?
Not yet.
To the Amanda Knox wedding?
Oh, okay. I just know I haven't made any donations.
Oh.
Although I did just tip this. my DoorDash driver.
Amanda Knox has started a website asking people, Amanda Knox, who's best known for having been accused of murdering somebody and was then acquitted.
Right.
That was one story I never followed very closely.
It was, during that time, probably the most followed, which is why it kind of turned you off.
Yeah, like, very little interest in the whole story. So I don't know what I think about whether she actually did it or not. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. But that's what she's famous for.
Right.
So now she is asking for the public, donors, to pay for her out-of-this-world wedding.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's marrying a guy named Christopher Robinson next year. They say that they just don't have enough for the kind of wedding they want to do, and they want to do a space-themed wedding So they've, I'm not going to give the website, but they have started a website and it's their registry, but they say, we don't need any more stuff. We just need money. So if you want to.
It just doesn't have like a sympathetic sort of bent to it.
That an acquitted murderer is asking people to pay for her wedding? Yeah. So they said, we're asking for help so that we can shower our friends and family with love and celebration. Instead of a traditional registry, we are asking for donations toward the cost of the wedding. Whether you're attending or not, all are welcome to donate to specific costs or at a patron level. Can I share it with you?
That sounds like a business. Yes.
I'll share with you some of the levels here. For $1,000, you can contribute as a galactic patron.
Ooh.
We welcome the embrace of your spiral arms. With your help, our coalescence will become ever grander in scale, with more outrageous costumes, crazier puzzles, mind-bending sets, and extravagant alien food. So that's $1,000.
I feel the same about this as I did the Colton Harris Moore thing when he was asking for money for a plane or flight lessons or whatever it was. And you're profiting off other people's pain. Mm-hmm. Like, you're famous because of people being hurt.
Yeah.
And
you're famous regardless of whether you did it or not. You're famous because a young roommate of yours was murdered.
Right.
Let's see. You don't have $1,000?
For that purpose.
For $500, you can be a stellar patron. You red giant, you white dwarf, you magnificent pulsar. With your help, we'll be able to add an extra sparkle to every little corner of this production. And when Madonna's Lucky Star comes on, we'll shout you out on the dance floor. And then if you want to be a temporal patron, that's either $2,000, $5,000, or $10,000. You can specifically donate to either the venue, the light and sound, the live band, the costumes, the photography. And here's the nice part.
Does she have a bunch of rich friends?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure for people who want to go to her wedding.
Here's the nice part. Everybody who donates is going to get a signed copy of the poetry book that she and her fiancé have written. Want to hear one of the poems?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any, Andrew, you got any poetry music?
You have to have galactic music.
Yeah, I got some right here.
Okay, all right. Actually, this poetry is about a rapper. Do you have any, like, maybe more hip-hop poetry music, Ben?
Let me see.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay, thanks.
Nice job. Put Andrew on the fly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so this is from the Amanda Knox poetry book that you will get a signed copy of if you help pay for her wedding. The poem is titled, She Wishes for Rapper Chains. Had I the dopest Cuban link chains, iced out with diamonds and lemonade gold, not some hollowed out dookie rope chains, I'm talking 5 solid kilos of gold. I would hang those chains around your neck, but being rich and not much else but love, let me wrap my arms around your neck, and I will be the pendant of your love. Yo. I'm not very good at reading rap-style poems.
Oh, you gave it a good effort. Yeah. Do we know how much has been raised so far? I do see now, I'm on the website, and yeah. I do see that there are $25 and $50 levels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you just want the poetry book, you can donate at any level.
If you've donated at $50, you can make sure that chocolate and raspberries are, looks like on a pancake or something, or a crepe.
So anyway, I wish those kids the very best. I think that starting out a life together as moochers is a very solid foundation for a great, wonderful future together. Okay. Oh, look at this. I spent all my time reading rapper poetry. Let me take another quick time out, and then we'll continue with the big lead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on, yo. Hey, let's continue with yet another big lead story.
The big lead, top trending.
So we told you a few days ago that up in British Columbia, Vancouver, BC, they have a human rights commission that is every bit as whack job as the one we have in our state. And it's particularly evidenced by the fact that a man who goes by the name Jessica Yaniv, he says that he's transgender. But he went into a spa salon where they do Brazilian waxes. I don't even, I'm embarrassed to ask this. The Brazilian is like.
All of it.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so he went in and he said, I want a Brazilian wax, please. And they said, well, we only treat women. I'm a woman. And so the spa owner said, no, you have male genitalia, and I'm not trained how to remove hair from that. And, you know, it's very possible that as a woman, she just doesn't want to, you know, touch some guy's junk. So this guy goes running, and he says that he's a transgender activist. So he goes running to this human rights commission, and he's trying to get that spa salon run out of business. He, of course, wants a huge payoff. And so this guy who goes by the name of Jessica Yaniv, he did an interview with an Irish talk show host named Niall Boylan, and he ended up hanging up on the host for making excellent, excellent points.
If, let's say, for example, I don't want to accept you as a woman, and I say, listen, Jessica, I don't believe you're a woman, I believe you're a man dressed as a woman, and I say that, I don't believe that you have the right to tell me to listen to you, well, to believe you. I don't believe, like, for example, I'll give you an example. I don't believe in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?
I do.
Okay, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist, okay? Now, you believe in God. I respect the fact that you believe in God, right? And I respect your point of view, and I respect your belief in God and your faith in God. That doesn't mean I have to believe in God. Do you understand the point? So some people may not, they may respect you, and they may respect that you want to be called Jessica, but they may not believe. They just don't believe it. They say, that's fine, he wants to be called Jessica, that's fine, I'll call him Jessica, I'll respect that, but I don't believe it, and I don't buy into it. So what you're essentially asking these women to do is, you're asking them to do a service on you that they don't believe in. They don't want to handle a man's genitalia. And but, is that fair?
Yeah. Not really, because, you see...
By the way, does this sound like a woman to you? Listen to his voice. Does that sound like a woman?
I'm protected under the BC Human Rights Code because I'm a protected class.
Are those women not protected? Are those women not protected who have a right to say no?
They don't because essentially what happens.
So
here
why does your rights trump theirs?
That's exactly the thing. That's why the tribunal member is coming to a balancing act to see how rights play out in this whole thing.
I mean,
see which rights.
That's the concern I have. I mean, look, I have no problem. You do what you want to do, Jessica, and you live your life whatever way you want to live your life. But the concern I have is that those women should also be allowed to live their lives the way they want to live their lives.
But not when they discriminate against the rights of others.
But they'll argue that they're not discriminating. That they're just saying, I'm sorry, we don't supply a service of a bikini wax or a Brazilian or whatever it happens to be, or the removal of hair from a genitalia from a man, as far as they're concerned, because it's male genitalia. And that's what they're saying. They're saying we shouldn't be forced to do that.
Okay, and right here, they've edited out 10 seconds of silence. The host thinks he's just stunned Jessica into silence because his point was so devastatingly well made. Turns out Jessica just hung up on the host because he was defeated in logic.
Well, have we lost his line there? Hello, you there? We'll try and get him back in a second. He seems to have lost the line. Have we lost her line? She gone? Okay.
So again, this guy, and there's some more information that's come out today about Jessica that absolutely convinces me, and this is not about all trans people, certainly it's not about all trans people. Again, live your life the way you want to. But if there's a spa salon owned by women and they don't want to touch male genitalia, and you're trying to force them to, and if they don't, they get put out of business and you get a huge payoff. I don't believe the sincerity of that at all. And in the case of this particular person, I think he's just a exhibitionist pervert. Because on his Twitter page for Jessica, they were trying to put together a youth all bodies swim for LGBTQ2S+. Man, it gets longer and longer. Youth and their allies. And here's what it said. Join us for, and I didn't even believe this was true. I saw it in a story this morning, and you got to be careful of fake news. So I went and found Jessica's Twitter page and scrolled way back, and indeed, this is what this guy is trying to put together. The first Langley Youth All Bodies Swim at Al Anderson Memorial Pool. About this event, join us for the first Langley Youth All Bodies Swim event for the LGBTQ2S+ and their allies. Registration is open to youth ages 12 to 24. Event is free with registration. For participant privacy and safety, parents and or caregivers are not permitted in the event. And what it is he's trying to convince 12 to 24-year-old girls and women to come and swim topless. I don't believe that this guy's transgender. I don't believe that he's a transgender activist. I certainly don't believe that he's a woman. And if he's trying to organize topless swims for 12-year-old girls where parents are not permitted, I think that, and this, by the way, the left says you can never criticize if he says he's a woman. I say he sounds like a bit of a perv to me. And the Fast 15 is next.